It's not how you start in the race, it's how you... Good. One more time. It's not how you start in the race, it's how you... And I want to preach today on the subject, finishing strong. Finishing strong. Let's say that together. Finishing strong. One more time. Finishing strong. How many want to finish strong? Let me see your hand. I believe all of us want to finish strong. But it's not how you start necessarily, it's really how you finish in this race. Well, the question is, are you willing to do what it takes to finish strong? That's really the ultimate question. Are you willing, am I willing to do what it takes to finish strong? Speaking of finishing strong, I had the privilege of preaching a revival meeting over at Providence Baptist Church a little over a week ago, August the 30th on a Tuesday night. And prior to the service, they had a meal for the church family in the fellowship hall. I went to the church and the fellowship hall. I noticed a man was sitting at the table. He had an oxygen tank with him. And I said, how you doing? I stuck my hand out. He stuck his hand out. And he said, my name is John. I said, yes, I remember you, John. I do remember you from last year. He said, I'm really looking forward to tonight. He said, I've been praying about it, and I'm just looking forward to it. And I said, well, I appreciate that so much. I'm looking forward to it as well. And I said, I appreciate your prayers. He was a real encouragement to me. Well, at the night, the service started, the worship time, and then time for me to preach the Word of God, the message. So God began to preach on the subject of the end time and Jesus coming again. I noticed to my left, John was sitting, John Varell. I don't know if any of you know him. Do any of you know him? He's sitting to my left. He's sitting along with some of the men there close to the podium. I looked over in the middle of the message, or at least close to halfway through the message, and I noticed he's having difficulty. And for a moment, it caught my attention, but the Lord just gave me grace to continue on. And the next thing you know, I noticed the pastor, Brother Ed Westbrook, pastor of Providence Baptist Church, got up and escorted John out of the service. I did not know what was going on, but in my heart, in that brief moment, as I'm preaching, the Lord seemed to put in my heart that it didn't seem to be a good situation. Well, finished the service, preached the message, God bless. And the next day, Pastor Ed sent me a text message and said, pray for John. It was on Wednesday night. I mentioned to our men that gathered together on Wednesday night to pray for John. I didn't know the extent of what had happened. But anyway, I said, well, we'll pray for John. And I just kind of left it at that. Well, last week on Monday, we was up in Covington, Georgia, and I saw a young man that happened to be in the worship service, and I talked with him, and anyway, I seemed to remember, and I said, hey, by the way, how's John doing? You know the man with the oxygen? He said, you didn't know? I said, no, I didn't know. What happened? He said, John passed away. I said, really? Well, I on one hand, I'm sorry about that, but on the other hand, I know that John, and I don't know him. I don't know him that well, other than just going to the church and what he shared with me right before the service. And I begin to think, praise God, that was the last, in all indications that I know, that was the last time that John was in a worship service. And yet he finished strong. Do you want to finish strong? I want to finish strong. I walked up to the hospital. Actually, I drove to the hospital, Kennerstone, up in Marietta. I'd not been at this hospital. I'd ridden by it before. It's a great big hospital there in Marietta. Anyway, got there yesterday after I got the call. And I walked in the room and was there with the family. And anyway, I went up and I just, the Lord put it in my heart. And I walked in the room in ICU where Sister Bobby Bailey, her body lay. And I began to think about what God wanted me to share today in regards to absent from the body, present with the Lord, finishing strong. It's not how you start, it's how you finish in this race. Sometimes we don't want to finish strong. Sometimes, as the song we just sang, we don't want to give ourselves away. Really, we're bought with a price, the blood of the Lamb. We're not our own, we're bought with a price. But speaking of that, it reminded me of the doctor down in Macon, a PD. Orthopedic doctor, some of you may know him. He told me, he said, Pastor, a couple of years ago, he said, you hear about the story? And I said, no, I hadn't heard it. He said, you hear about when Jesus showed up at a restaurant? And I said, no, I hadn't heard it. And this orthopedic doctor said, he saw Jesus showed up at this restaurant. A man was there, and he had a cane in his hand, and he had a crippled leg. And And Jesus said, what would you have me to do? The man said, that my leg might be whole. And he said, the doctor telling me the story, Jesus put his hands on him and said, your faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. He said, looked at another lady over in the restaurant, and she had a sling on her arm. And he walked over to her, Jesus, and said, woman, what would you have me to do? She said, that I might regain strength in my arm. Jesus laid his hands on her and said, woman, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. And then he said he walked over to another man that was in a wheelchair, and he walked up to the man and he said, what would you have me to do? He said that Jesus reached out his hands to touch the man, and the man jumped up and said, no, don't touch me, I'm on disability. Sometimes we don't really want to finish strong. Sometimes we really don't want to really go all out for God. Hey, look, today we're talking about, there are three challenges I want to give you as the Lord gave me this week. And there are three decisions, yea, daily decisions you and I need to make if we're going to finish strong. I want to finish strong. How many want to finish strong? All right, look with me please in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, finishing strong. What are the three challenges we have today? And some of you may perhaps feel like quitting. Some of you may be going through a hard time. You might feel discouraged. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Stand to your feet as we read verse 9. Chapter 9, rather, verses 24 through 27. Would you bring on the screen, please, in the back, the finishing strong, the emblem, please. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, thank you, Katie, finish strong. And in 1 Corinthians, you're well aware of the fact that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and he was there about 3 years, according to Acts chapter 18. The church was established on his second missionary journey. A lot of things were going on in the church, such as immorality, ungodliness, and immaturity, as well as lack of authority. And so Paul is writing to address some of those issues. But I want us to, please, for the sake this morning, look at chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. This is the passage the Lord led me back this week as I was thinking of the subject for some reason, finishing strong. And I'm convinced there's some of us today that are really weary and we're really tired and we really don't know if we can carry on. In fact, some of you may be saying, you know, I just am too busy and I got too much going on. I don't know if I can serve God. I mean, I'm just kind of giving God my leftovers instead of my very best. Look at this. Challenges. Number one, you got to get in the race, verse 24. You got to run in the race, verse 27, 6 rather. And then you got to not only get in the race, run in the race without quitting, but you and I have got to give it all we've got if we're going to finish strong. In verse 24, notice with me if you're there, say amen. Know you not that they which run in a race... The word for race there is stadium, where we get our word stadium. It's the picture of an Olympic race. No doubt Paul probably had attended some of those competitions in his day. Keep reading. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. He's fixing to give an analogy, yea, an illustration concerning an earthly race and winning a perishable crown. Notice verse number 25. In comparison, by the way, to an imperishable crown for those of us that are in the race that one day we'll get to the finish line in eternity. In verse 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. Let me pause right there for a moment. The word strive is the word that means a striving, as in a wrestling or a effort extended. Everyone that puts an effort out, everyone that's striving in this particular race for the mastery is temperate. I just want to point out a couple of things and we'll be done reading. The word temperate there is the same word we get our word self-control. No doubt, and it's recorded, documented, these athletes trained for 10 long months. They had to abstain from all kinds of things that would keep them from really running the race. Wine, for example, according to some of the commentaries and biblical historical information, they couldn't eat but certain kind of meat. Why? They wanted to be in tip-top condition. So they had to discipline their bodies. Hey, listen, beloved, this is such a beautiful picture of us who named the name of Jesus running the race of holiness. Verse 25 again, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, that is, self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. That word crown there, by the way, is the word Stephanos, that perishable crown. But notice he says, but we, an incorruptible crown. And some suggest it was probably made out of leaves or laurel. This crown that once they won the race, they would give them a crown of leaves that would die in about a week or two. And Paul's saying, hey, all that stuff's going to perish. But we're in a race where, thank God, the crown is imperishable. Oh, glory to God. Notice this right here in verse 26. I therefore shall run, not as uncertainly. Paul says, I'm running in this race. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm like you. Have you ever, some of you men know what I'm talking about. You look in the shadow. We call it shadow boxing, all right? You look in your shadow as it puts a shadow on the wall. And that's what Paul's saying. I'm not just shadow boxing. Look what he's saying in verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But, verse 27, I keep under my body. Bring it under subjection. I'm going to let God the Holy Ghost bring my harness, my flesh, under subjection. Look at this. And really what this picture is, I'm going to keep under my body. I'm going to beat it black and blue. That's the rendering of the text. I'm going to discipline this old body. I'm not going to let my flesh run my life. I'm going to be led of the Spirit. I'm going to beat it black and blue. That's what Paul's saying. The Holy Ghost saying it through him. I keep under my body. Bring it under subjection. Look at this. The last part of verse 27. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? You know what that word means, cast away? It's the word dokimos. And it means a reject. It means one who does not pass the test. I keep under my body. I beat it black and blue. Bring it under subjection. Lest by any means, when I preach to others, I should be a reject. Wait a minute, I hear something. It's not only talking the talk, but it's not only our lips, but it's our life. Oh, wow. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless you today, love you today. Thank you for your great unconditional love, your amazing grace. And Lord, we recognize we're here all because of your grace. And we are what we are because of your grace. And we're in this race, Lord, because of your grace. And we pray now for extraordinary restraint and mighty resurrection power to finish the race. Lord, I want to finish strong. And I'm convinced all of us here want to really finish strong. And Lord, I just believe that there's husbands here and wives here and mamas and daddies and grandparents that are weary and worn down from the things of the world and the pressures and jobs and bills and the government and things we can't change and world events that are seemingly escalating out of control. Oh God, we pray now that you will zero in on us and enable us and power us and the Lord, bring us back to our first love today, that God our Father will purpose in our heart to run the race, to not defile the temple of the Holy Spirit, our bodies, and Lord Jesus, that we'd see you as the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh God, we don't know where the finish line is at, but we know you know where it's at, and we pray now that all of us, dear Lord, by your might and by your power will be faithful to run the race, to keep the faith, our eyes on you. And I pray now for rededications today and restorations today and reconciliations today, and your glory might be seen in our life because it's about you. And Lord Jesus, give us the eye of faith to see that one day we're going to see you face to face, and Lord Jesus, be in your presence to worship you and a reckoning day. And God, for that we say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we give you glory today. Change lives, save the lost. May the gospel of Christ go forth in life changing power. And may, when all said and done, you be high and lifted up. And I ask you for a fresh cleansing and fresh anointing. Give us ears to hear today and hearts to obey. We'll surrender. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Number one, I suggest to you that if we're going to finish strong, look at your neighbor and say, finish strong. Oh, listen, do you want to finish strong? I want to finish strong. Well, how in the world are we going to finish strong? I mean, it's not just going to happen. There are some strategic insights in this passage that if we're going to finish strong, number one, you got to get in the race. You're not going to finish strong if you're not in the race. Number two, you've got to get in the race and you've got to run and not quit. And some of you feel like quitting. Maybe some of you are really not giving Jesus your all. I don't know. And at times we get weary and well-doing, and at times we take our eyes off the Lord. Oh, we just get a bad attitude. Come on, let's be honest. But God says if you want to finish faithful, we've got to get in the race. And number two, if we're going to finish faithful, finish strong, we've got to not only get in the race, but praise God, we've got to get in the race and not quit. And then number three, that's found in verse number 26 and verse 24. But then finally, if we're going to finish strong, we got to get in the race and we've got to give it our all. And may God help us to do it. Number one, if we're going to finish strong, say it with me. Finish strong. Say it again. I want this to echo in your heart. I want God the Holy Ghost to take this thought, this theme, and so birth it in your heart that you won't be able to get away from it, that God is going to etch it in your being. When you feel tempted to sin or take your eyes off the Lord is going to remind you, son, daughter, you're going to finish strong. My grace is sufficient for you. I've got a great plan for you. I'm going to reward you one day when you get to glory. Finish strong. Finish strong. Hey, I know it's not easy, but thank God it's rewarding, amen, to finish strong. And so number one, you got to get in the race. Notice what he says in verse 24. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it for obtained a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I want to first of all ask you a question. What keeps us from getting in the race? I'll tell you what keeps us from getting the race. As I reflected on that question in my own heart, number one, people keep us from getting in the race. Number two, problems keep us from getting in the race. Number three, pride keeps us from getting in the race. Number one, people keep us from getting in the race. You know what? After you know that you've been born again, how many know that you're saved? Let me see your hand this morning. Probably most all of us, with exception of maybe one or two, have made that lifelong decision and said, Jesus, save me, forgive me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And therefore, you're in the race. But the question is, how are you doing in the race? The question is, how are you doing in the race? And people can keep us from running the race. What do you mean, Pastor? Here's our dilemma. See, if you agree with me, once we get in the church, once we become a Christian, you know what we do? We measure ourselves with other people in the church. Well, he's not too bad, and she's not too bad, and we start measuring our, you know, he comes, And I've been around him, and we start measuring ourselves among ourselves instead of measuring ourselves with the Word of God. And that's wherein we get off track. Because, and there's nothing wrong with appreciating a brother or sister that's running the race of holiness, but if we measure ourselves by ourselves, as Paul said, we will get out of line in the race. There's one we ought to measure, and that's the Word of God. There's one we ought to measure, and that's the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so where are you in the race? Are you even in the race? Have you been baptized? Have you been saved? Are you yielded to the Lordship of Christ? Are you serving the Lord in some capacity? Where are you at in the race? Is it the 2-minute warning? You got 2 minutes. Bobby Bailey was here 5 weeks ago. Let me remind you, homecoming, I saw her, I talked with her, I saw Doug, you talked with them 5 weeks ago, and now she's into eternity. I mean, we've had a lot of our dear saints have gone on to be with the Lord. I'm telling you, we are in this race, and how many want to finish strong? God, help me to finish strong. It's not how you start, it's how you finish in the race. People can cause us to get off track. Problems can cause us to get off track. Pastor, the reason I didn't sign this servant surrender Sunday, and that's between you and the Lord. Well, I just got too much going on. You see, beloved, I realize that one day that you and I will stand before God. If you had the privilege of being around a bedside and seeing people die, like I've had the privilege over the last number of years, you'd realize the finality of life and death and the reality of somebody dying and it's over. It might do you good to go to a nursing home every once in a while. It might do you good to go and see somebody who's just died. It might be a good message for you and me to realize we're in this race and we won't be in this race forever. Oh, listen, beloved, problems, we all have them. Adam had them, I have them, you have them. Everybody's got problems. Job put it this way. Man born of a woman just a few days is full of troubles. But wait a minute. If those troubles are carrying you down and those troubles are dragging you down so you can't serve God, there's something wrong, because I read over there where God said, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I've read where God said, Jesus said to Paul, we're more than conquerors in him. I've read over there where he said his grace would be sufficient no matter what we face. In fact, I've read over there those troubles and trials we have to go through every day in life, they're not meant to break us. They're meant to make us more than conquerors in the Lord. And thank God, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you, our God's a great God. He knows what we're going through, and he will pull you through. He will pull you through. You better believe it. He will pull you through. If you could just get through it, I know you can get to it. Look, hey, here's the deal. Paul said, we are troubled on every side, yet not in distress, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. And then he mentioned in Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, tribulations, plural, worketh patience. Tribulation, the word tribulation is the word thlipsis, which means pressure. How many are facing pressure these days? Ah, yeah, you know you are. You got money. You got money issues. You got problems with the family. You got work-related problems. You know, challenges here. Health issues here. But Paul reminds us, tribulations work in patience. That word patience is hupomene. God's building character in you and me. And patience builds experience. Dakame, the word experience. Watch this. The troubles and trials you've got, God said, I'm just building some spiritual muscles in you. He's got a plan for you, sir. I'm telling you, those things you're going through today, they're not meant to crush you. Rather, they're meant to make you rise up above them in the name of Jesus, and by the blood of Jesus, and by the word of God, and by the power of the cross. Oh, praise God. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And I'm telling you, when Jesus saves you, thank God he can keep you. He that begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, 6, past tense, present tense, future tense. Philippians 2 and 13, it's God that working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus under good works, which he had before ordained that we should walk in them. That is Ephesians 2, verse 10. How are you in this race? Where are you at? Are you running the race? Are you concerned about holiness? Are you concerned about honoring God? Are you concerned about being a spirit-filled daddy and a spirit-filled mama? Are you laying aside the worldly cares? Are you crucifying the flesh? And are you running in the faith of the Son of God? Oh, God, help us to finish strong. And it's not how you start in this race. It's how you finish. All right, I need some help. Step up on God's scales. How much you weigh? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2 says, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Oh, we can talk about, this and that, but God weighs the spirit. And speaking of stepping up on the scale, did you hear about the old boy that stepped up on the scale and did this? His wife said, honey, that's not going to do any good. He said, yeah, it will. It'll help me see the numbers down below. What do you weigh on God's scale? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. I need some help. Paul, how'd you finish, son? I want for a moment for God to give us a report card on how you're doing. What would God write on your report card? Paul, what kind of grade you get, man? Paul would say, well, I didn't do everything just right, but I'll tell you what. Let's see the life of this man, Paul. He'd say, I was telling my son of the Lord Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with affairs of this life, that it may please him who had called him to be a soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And then he'd say this. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Let's say that together. Fight the good fight of faith. How many know it's a fight? Come on, let me see your hand. It's a fight. If you don't think it's a fight, you're not in the battle. It's a fight every day. Daily decision. You got to get in the race. And Paul would say this. Hey, I wrote my son in the Lord. I didn't have much, but I wanted to leave a lasting legacy. How many want to leave a lasting legacy? Paul would say this. I told my son in the Lord, I charge you before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge both the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. The time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but he to themselves teachers having gifts and ears, from such turn away the truth and be turned to fables. Oh, my departure's at hand, said Paul, and I'm ready to be offered up. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but all of them who love his appearing. I say, Paul, you get an A, son, for finishing strong. There he is in that dungeon, Roman dungeon. His clothes stink. I'm telling you, it's like a rat infested, probably some say, just a rat's den. And Paul's waiting. Paul! We don't know all the details in my sanctified imagination. Paul, it's your time. And he gets up out of that old stinking rat infested insanitary condition in that prison cell or whatever he was doing. And they said, Paul, your time's up, son. Lay your head on the chopping block, and off with his head. One minute he's clothed in rags. The next minute he's clothed in the righteousness in the white robe of God's great righteousness. I'm telling you, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul, you get an A. All right. Moses, step up on the scale. All right. What do you weigh, son? What kind of grade would you get? Well, I'll tell you what, said Moses. I didn't start off real good. After all, my mama put me in a bulrush, put me out there in the Nile River. I almost got eaten up by crocodiles out there. But had it not have been for the Holy Ghost to pinch me, Pharaoh's daughter would have never known I was there. That's my translation, all right? And Moses say this. He say, you know, I grew up with a silver spoon in the Egyptian courthouse. I was taught in an Egyptian school. And he said, but I tell you the truth, Moses would say, I saw him mistreating my brethren, and the Egyptians were hard on my brethren, and I saw them whipping them, and I saw them beating my brethren, and one day it just got the best of me. One day I rose up and I killed one of the Egyptians because of the way they were treating my friends and my family. I looked around, wondered if anybody saw me. I hid that man and dug a hole and threw him in the sand to try to cover it up, but they saw what I did. And so you know what I did? I was kind of scared, so I took my flight on the backside of the desert, and there I was for 40 years. Moses was say, all right, well then what happened, Moses? Well, Moses would say, I was out there minding my business, meeting a father-in-law named Jethro, and all of a sudden I saw a bush and a coal on fire. There was nobody that struck a match. There was not any gasoline out there in the desert. The bush just caught on fire. Well, then what happened, Moses? I'll tell you what happened. God came, and I heard a voice from that bush that said, take off your shoes. The place you are standing is holy ground. And Moses would say, well, what happened then? Would say to Moses, well, this burning bush said, I am that I am, and I've heard my people's cry. I promised deliverance. How many believe that God hears our cry? Oh, yes, he does. And Moses said, well, what about it then, Moses? What happened then? Well, I began to make every excuse after one after another and say, God, surely you're not calling me. And God said, what's that thing in your hand? I said, it's a staff. He said, throw it down. He threw it down, and it turned into a serpent. How many be running at that point? Anyway, he said, pick it up by the tail. Somebody said, that's where rock and roll got started, getting the hand by the tail. That's what I heard a preacher say. Anyway, he gets that stick by the tail. It turns back into a serpent. He said, take your hand, Moses. Put it in your bosom. He pulls it out. It's white, leprous, like snow. How many know that'd be convincing? And Moses said, what do you have me to do? Moses said, I told God I couldn't speak. I was a stammering, man. And God said, I don't need your ability. I want your availability.
Oh, somebody ought to catch that right there. And then God said, I'll raise up a man named Aaron, your brother. He'll be your spokesman. Well, what happened then, Moses? Well, I went back and told Pharaoh, let my people go that they might serve me. Well, did it do it? No. Well, what happened then, Moses? Well, you see, the river turned into blood, and then there were all kinds of plagues that happened. There were frogs and lice and hailstorms and death and finally the death of the firstborn. And finally that got Moses, that got Pharaoh's attention. And then what happened, Moses? Well then all those people we got out of Egypt, and I held up that rod, I came up to the Red Sea. And God parted the water. Well, what happened then, Moses? We walked across on dry land. Really? Yep. And then what happened, Moses? Well, Pharaoh and his army, they were pursuing us. They were in chariots and all of that, and it swallowed them up. Really? Yep, that's exactly how it happened. And then what happened, Moses? I'll tell you what happened. On the other side, we began to sing, oh, victory in Jesus. And then the next thing you know, what happened next? Well, you wouldn't believe it. The people began to complain and murmur. They didn't have any water. Well, what happened then, Moses? Well, God gave us water. We cut down a stick and the bitter waters became sweet and we drank it. Well, what happened then, Moses? Well, the people began to complain about not having any food. They were murmuring. Murmuring. They were murmuring. You never murmur, I'm sure. They were murmuring. We would rather be back in Egypt. Moses, why'd you bring us out here to kill us all? I'd rather be eating those onions and garlic and cucumber. Isn't that just like some Christians? Well, they say it only took God one day to get them out of Egypt. Years to get Egypt out of them. I'm telling you this, we're in a race. Well, Moses, what happened then? Well, we didn't have any food, and God rained down some manna from heaven. We call it angel's food. Wow, you mean he gave you enough to supply? Yep, he did. I'm telling you, God was meeting our needs left and right. Well, then what happened, Moses? Well, once upon a time, we didn't have any water, and God told me to speak to the rock, and he said, I'd had enough. How many know what I'm talking about? I'd had enough. Have you ever had enough? Have you ever got up right up to here and you just couldn't take it any longer? Moses said, I had enough, and I got my rod and I smote that thing and said, you rebels. Well, what happened then, Moses? God told me I had a bad attitude. God told me that I wouldn't go into the promised land because of my anger, because of not giving him glory. Well, what happened then, Moses? Well, God carried me up on Mount Nebo. I looked out at that beautiful land flowing full of milk and honey. I could see it from a distance, but I didn't get to go there. Moses, you were a great leader. But Moses, we got to give you a B+. Well, who else would we call up? David, come on, take the stand. Let's step up on God's scales. Finish strong. David, how was it for you? Well, I grew up in Jesse's home, you understand? I kept the sheep on the backside of the pasture, you understand? And there was a bear and a lion, but I killed them both because I was protecting my father's sheep. And then what happened, David? Well, it came to pass that there was a battle going on, a war. My brothers were scared of this giant over there. He was a Philistine, and they were shaking like scared rabbits. And I was really just taking some supplies over there to them. And I saw this great big man saying, give me a man that'll fight with me. Well, what'd you do, David? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I thought to myself, there's a cause right here. This uncircumcised Philistine is taunting and intimidating the armies of God. Something ought to be done about him. Something ought to be done. What'd you do? Well, you know, I've been practicing that sling and stone. I told you a little while ago that when that bear and that lion showed up, I could kill them. And I could hit a hair's breadth. I could hit a breath. I could hit a hair, for 50 yards off. And so what'd you do, David? Well, I put a smooth stone in my sling. And there that giant had a sword and armor. Even Saul told me not to go out to battle. Well, what'd you do, David? Well, I took that sling, and I had confidence in God. I said, God's going to give me this Philistine. I threw that sling, and that rock came out of my sling, hit that giant right smack between the eyes. Well, what happened? He fell on the ground. What'd you do then, David? I got his sword and cut off his head in the name of the Lord of hosts. Wow, David, did you do that? Yep. Everybody was happy, but King Saul was jealous, really. Well, what happened then? An evil spirit came on Saul. He tried to kill me. And then, you know what happened after that? What happened? Well, I finally became king of Judah for 7 years and then 33 years over in Israel. And you know what happened then? Well, what happened, David? After I became king of Judah and king of Israel. And David, what happened then? Well, you know, after I was king, I kind of got to make my own decisions, you understand? And so it was a time when my armies were out at battle. Springtime. Well, what were you doing, David? I was walking up on the rooftop. Okay. Well, what happened, David? I was just kind of looking around, you understand? I had some idle time. Idle time is the devil's workshop, and idle lips are the devil's mouthpiece. Somebody say amen. Oh, that was weak. David, what'd you see? I saw a woman bathing. Well, what happened then, David? I'll tell you what happened then. I couldn't help the first look, but I could the second and the third and the fourth. You see, when sin had conceived, lust had conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. What happened then, David? Well, I looked and I lust. And then I said, I got to have that woman. Come on. I'm the king. What'd you do? Well, I set a big spread. Man, I spent a lot of money. I told my servants, let's get a great big meal. Send for that woman down there. What's her name? Bathsheba. I know her name. Send her up here. She comes up there. Well, what happened then, David? Well, you know, lust had conceived and bringing forth sin. Next thing you know, I slept with her all night long. Really, David? That wasn't right. Well, I understand that. Well, then what'd you do? Well, I slept with her, and you see, next thing you know, I find out she's pregnant, and then next thing you know, that her husband's in the way. I'm trying to cover up my tracks, you understand? I got to get rid of him somehow. If I'm going to have Bathsheba as my own wife, I got to get rid of him. Well, what'd you do then, David? Well, I really tried to test him, but he was a loyal servant. Well, what'd you do then, David? Well, I told my right-hand man, Joab, to put him in the front line, and then when the battle began to rage, to Joab to withdraw the troops. There, Uriah would be a sitting duck. And he was killed consequently. I took Bathsheba as my own wife. Well, what happened then, David? Well, I thought I was okay and everything was fine. Although deep down inside I knew I'd done wrong. Deep down inside something was bothering me and I couldn't put my finger on it. Somebody say amen. And yet, well, what happened then? Well, a preacher came that time. And the preacher told me a story. It was 9 months later. Bathsheba was showing by then. And the preacher said to me, he said, about a little, you know, poor man and a rich man. And the rich man took this poor man's little lamb. And he looked at me and said, what do you think about that rich man taking that poor man's lamb? All he has is a little lamb. That man ought to pay. And then the preacher put his finger right in my face, Nathan the prophet, and said, thou art the man. Well, what happened then, David? David, I said I was on conviction. Oh, I realized my sin had found me out. I realized that what was sowed, we reap. What happened then, David? I confessed my sin to God. I cried out to God, oh, that you brought out my sins. You wash me, make me whiter than snow. Purge me with hyssop, Psalm 51. And create within me a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then I'll teach transgressors their ways. What happened then, David? Well, we reap what we sow. Really, what do you mean? Well, my own daughter was raped by my son. Wow, really? And then what? That's not all. My son, other son killed my son for raping my daughter. Really? Man, I had hell in my family. Really? Well, what happened then, David? My own son tried to kill me. Really, David? And he said, man, I just reap the consequences. But David, tell us more. Well, David would say, but later in my life, I got things right, and I couldn't understand other than some things happened in my life. And then finally, I realized that I was fixing to die. I'm on my deathbed. Did you finish faithful? Did you finish strong? Well, I took the baton. I said, Solomon, you know, the son of Bathsheba. I took my baton. I said, Solomon, you're to be the next king. And I gave some instruction. In fact, I got materials to build the temple, but God wouldn't let me build it because I'd shed so much blood. Blood was dripping off my hand. I had to fight and war. And then what happened? I died. David, step on the scale. You finished strong. But David, I got to give you a B. Step up on the scale. Who else? Solomon? Solomon, step up on the scale. What kind of grade would you get, Solomon? Well, I'll tell you what. I came from a king's family. And I was blessed beyond measure. And after all, from a king's family, I mean, I was able to do whatever I wanted to do. But you know what? God gave me wisdom more than any other man. Riches more than any other man. I was ruined by my riches. I was led by my lust. I mean, anything I wanted. I'm the king. Well, what happened, Solomon? Well, I just kind of started lusting after all these other women. God told me the Israelites are supposed to be mine. But anyway, well, what happened then, Solomon? Well, I brought them into my palace. But it wasn't good. Why not? Because they brought their gods, see, with them. If I wanted to be with them, I had to be with their gods too. Uh-oh, that spells bad news. Yep, because corruption came in the palace, you see. And then it reaped havoc and God divided the kingdom because of that. In 931, Solomon died. And then Solomon would say this to those of you that critics that are looking out there and taking, no, I'm just kidding. Hey, Solomon would say this. He'd say, I made a mess of my life. I wrote in this book called Ecclesiastes. I look back on my life. It was like a hurricane swept through my life. Bad decisions. And I looked at the devil. I found out there's more to life than pleasure. There's more to life than money. There's more to life than wine, women, and wealth. Really, Solomon? Well, I confess to you, Solomon, although you wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and God used you, I have to give you a C. Somebody else. Samson, step on the scale. Samson said, I came from good family. Manoah was my daddy. Israelites, I could have anything under the Israelite women, man. But you know what? They didn't look as good as those Philistine girls. I was told because my Nazarite vow, you know, I was strongest man in the world. And God gave me strength, but it was a vow that I'd give to God that I could do anything. But there's certain things I couldn't do. Well, what'd you do, Samson? Well, I had my eyes on these Philistine girls, you see. And I couldn't handle it anymore. I had to have this woman named Delilah, really. Well, what happened then, Samson? Well, you see, she was trying to get out my secret about my strength, and she told me, she said, Samson, you can't spend a night with me and lie in my bed with me unless you tell me your strength. Ah, I'm adding my version, you understand? Modern day. Oh, yes, my sanctified imagination. And she just kept on him and on him and on him. He said, I lost my hair, I lost my eyes, I lost my strength. Samson, what happened, son? I lost everything, but I had one more prayer to get back to God. And God heard my cry, and I pulled down this arena, and more Philistines were killed in the latter than there were the first. I'm glad to hear you finished strong, Samson, but I have to say you probably get a D because sin binds, sin grinds, sin makes blind. You got your hair cut in the devil's barber shop, and it was a dark night when the lights went out at Samson's house. Somebody else got to step on the scale. What about it, Simon the Pharisee? What do you weigh, Simon? What kind of report card would you get? Simon stepped on it and said, man, I was a Pharisee. I was a Pharisee. I did everything. You know, I kept the law. Man, I wouldn't pull a gray hair out of my head on the Sabbath day. I tithed all that I had. Man, I fasted. I read the law. I knew the Old Testament, front and back. Really? Yep. Say, Simon. Well, tell me what happened. Well, it so happens this man named Jesus showed up, and everybody's making a big deal of it. Well, what happened, Samson? What happened, Simon? Well, I spent a lot of my own money. I put a spread. I was going to give a meal. I spent money out of my pocket to make this great big dinner for this man named Jesus come over. And you see, it was all about me. It wasn't about him. Well, what happened? Jesus came over to my house one time, and he came up, and he was sitting there, and all of a sudden a woman showed up. This, I don't know where she came from. She just showed up, and all of a sudden she just got down at his feet and began to wet his feet with her tears and her hair. And I began to think, who in the world does this woman think she is? This is my house. I've spent this money on all this food. She's taken the attention that I deserve. And you know what I did? What'd you do, Simon? I said, Jesus, you know that woman. If you knew who she was, you wouldn't let her touch you. Really? Well, what happened then? Well, Jesus looked at me and said, Simon, since I've been here, you hadn't washed my feet. You hadn't kissed my feet with your lips. This woman has kissed me ever since I've been here. Simon, let me tell you a story. There's one man that owes a lot of money, and there's another man that owes a little bit of money, and both are forgiven. Which one do you think is going to appreciate the most? Simon says, well, probably the one that's been forgiven most. Jesus looks at him and said, this woman's been through a lot, much, been forgiven, loveth much. Oh, yes, that's maybe why I love the Lord. Simon, you get an F for being a Pharisee. Oh, listen, you got to get in the race. If you're going to finish strong, you got to get in the race. Number two, if you finish strong, you got to run the race and not quit. You can't quit. You don't need to quit yet. There's a lot of people quitting. Why? Getting the feelings hurt.
Have you gotten your feelings hurt lately? Oh, somebody, they didn't ask me to sing this morning. I don't think I'm going back. They didn't ask me to preach today. I don't think I'm going back. She didn't even speak to me. Did you hear what she said? Getting our feelings hurt will get us out of the race faster than anything else. Can you hear me? Oh, it will. And don't think it won't happen to you, my friend. And don't think it won't happen to me. Feelings hurt. And then you know what else? I'll tell you what else. Burnout. You see what's going to happen. Listen to me. Y'all look at me. Listen to me. Burnout will get you out of the race. If you're just coming to church and all you're doing is rat race. I'm just going and I'm doing this and I'm doing this at the church and I'm doing this at the church. And if you're not feeding your soul and if you're not spending time with God and His Word, listen to me. Please don't miss this. If you're not spending time with God every day, you're going to get burned out, because it's God that calls us and it's God that enables us to serve Him. That's the key. Why do people get out of the race? Another day I was cutting grass and I had my chainsaw out and I had these trees that were growing up in the chain link fence. How many know what I'm talking about? I had my chainsaw cutting it, and this was late night one night. They'd grown up. It looked like a jungle around there. Anyway, I had my chainsaw, was cutting it, and it's close to the fence, a chain link fence. And by the way, I had a wire, which was an electric wire, you know, electric fence, a little bit of thin wire that goes around insulators all across the backyard to keep the dog from getting out of the fence, of course. I'm out there cutting them trees down, and it's so close to the fence, man, it's hard to get there. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? You cut them too, hadn't you? Anyway, all of a sudden, I'm cutting them, and all of a sudden, boom, my chainsaw cuts off. I said, what's happened? It just bogged down. I said, what happened? And I got the string, and I tried to pull it, and it wouldn't crank up. It was stuck. I said, well, something's done happened. Took it in the carport in the operating room. Somebody say amen. Got my tools out and started taking that baby apart. You know what I found? I'd cut the electric wire. Thank God it was off. Somebody say amen. But I cut the electric wire. You know what it did? It wrapped up that electric wire all around the sprocket of that chainsaw. I had to take that cover off of the chainsaw, and I'd take each one of the little strands of that electric wire off. My chainsaw wouldn't crank. Once I took them off, and I'd got all of that one at a time now. It was all wrapped around it. It just locked it down. Once I got them all off, I pulled that baby and it fired right up. You know, the Lord spoke to me about that. Some things can get tangled up in your life, can't they? Keep you from running the race. Are you running the race? Hey, look, your legacy is important. Your ministry is important. Your testimony is important. You need, and I need, to finish strong. Wait a minute, my time's gone. Number one, daily decisions. You got to get in the race if you're going to finish strong. Are you in the race? Where you at? How you running? Number two, you got to run in the race and not quit. Some of you quit, hadn't you? Some of you not in the race anymore. Why not? Well, I got too many things going on. Well, you'll stand before God one day. I said, you'll stand before God one day. I will too. Number three, how many believe you need to give it all you got if you're going to finish strong? You've got to give it all you got. Listen to me. If you're going to finish strong, you've got to give it all you got. You're not giving it all you got. Why not? You're not giving it all you got. Why not? Well, I'll tell you why. Paul said, I keep under my body bringing into subjection, lest any means when I preach to others I should be a reject, a castaway, dokimos. And here's the deal, and I'll be done. Sometimes our batteries need to be recharged. Talk to me. Yep. You've been there too, hadn't you? Yep. In fact, I was going to cut the grass. Same day I was talking about cutting down all this stuff. I got my key in my lawnmower, turned it over, and it went click, 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 click. Not good. I got my jumper cables out and said, I got to jump that baby off. She's drained. How many have been drained lately? The heat, the problems. You need to get charged up today. If you're going to finish strong, you know what? I put them jumper cables on. Red on positive. Black on negative. Don't reverse them things. It'll blow up. You understand? And so put them on and it wouldn't crank. I had to leave it on for about 30 minutes, it seemed. I don't know why. Cleaned off the cables and all that stuff, you understand? And finally, it cranked up. And I got to thinking about it. I said, Lord, isn't that just like us? When our faith gets low, our batteries get low, I need to get my batteries charged up. I'll tell you what, when my strength gives out, I need my batteries charged up. When my peace is troubled and I can't find peace anywhere I turn, I need my batteries to be charged up again. When my worry starts winning, I need my batteries to be charged up again. When my attitude needs adjusting, I know I need a jump off. I need my batteries charged up again. When my vision gets dim, I know I need my batteries to be recharged. When my resources become depleted, I need my batteries to be recharged. I'm so glad, hallelujah, God will recharge your batteries today.
Finish strong. David Livingstone was a missionary over in Africa. His arms were dangling by his body because of lions that had ripped his arms into shred. He had been inflicted and infected with 26 rainforest diseases. Yet he pressed on. David Livingstone. You know how he died and how they found him? The best I can recall. He finished faithful. He's praying. He's in a state of prayer. God takes him on to heaven. He buried his heart in Africa, though his body was buried elsewhere. He finished strong. He finished strong. Steve McQueen. Billy Graham told the story of Steve McQueen. He pointed him to how he could be saved. Though he had lived a wicked life, God met with him. He said, "How could God forgive me?" Billy Graham told him. He said, "You need to look at Titus chapter 1, verse 2. God promised us eternal life. God, who cannot lie, promised us eternal life before the foundation of the world." You know how they found Steve McQueen when he died? With Titus chapter 1 and his finger on verse 2. Are you going to finish strong? Let's stand together, can we?